All right, welcome back to episode 11 of Something Wrong with the Podcast. It's Julian. Before I go anywhere, call this number 877-557-SWWP to get in contact with me, your intrusive thought therapist. I have the first female guest, only the second on-camera guest ever on my show today, by way of Australia, singer, songwriter, barista, what else to slap on, activist, content creator, OnlyFans model.
We'll get to that.
Takara, welcome. Woo, welcome to Something Wrong with the Podcast. This is Something Wrong with the Podcast, West Coast edition. We're live in LA, so I've been here all week. I'm ready to go back to New York, but we're here for now, so thank you for joining me.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. We grabbed coffee yesterday, and I wanted to... The one question after you said you would agree to do this, and I said, I want to ask you something, but I waited until this moment. Mm. When did Australia become, like, the best... group of people for all things breakfast, brekkie, as you would say?
Like, I feel like they like thrust that title upon themselves,
but like they own it and they earn, like, they rightfully so. Like in New York, all of the best spots are all like the four of the best spots. Ruby's is like the big one, Dudley's, and there's like four more that I can probably name, but like they're all Australian owned. And like, what is it there that makes their breakfast food so fucking good?
I feel like I might just be a little healthier. Like real food.
Yeah, that's fair.
No shade to New York. Don't come for me.
I was gonna run through some like Australian slang. I'll just try to work it in here.
Okay.
I was gonna say thank you for joining me. This Arvo.
Arvo. Okay.
Arvo. Right.
It's Arvo. Yeah.
How's that? How's my accent?
It's, well, you gotta get rid of that R. Arvo.
Arvo.
It was so close.
No.
I feel like you emphasized the R.
Arvo.
Arvo, yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Well,
so it's afternoon. But
yeah. Yeah, it counts. So, okay. Well, I feel like we covered so much yesterday, but I feel like we have to do some unearthing just to familiarize people. So, yeah. So we met at South By.
We did, yeah.
And you said you thought you knew me from somewhere.
Yes.
To which I said, I don't know, I don't live in Austin. And they said, how about LA? I said, nor LA. And I was like, but like, clearly I travel, I'm around. So then like did some digging, went home, like saw you worked with Kamau, an artist that I used to work with when I was at Atlantic, listened to some of your music, definitely recognized you from your coffee Instagram. And then, now we're here. I guess I wanted to go through, we touched on a little bit, but the whole impetus of the coffee thing and when that came to be, and like your whole journey from Australia to the States, which is like a very interesting story.
How much time do we have?
We got time.
Where should I start? Where should I begin?
Yeah.
Back in my 90s days when I was born.
Yeah, that's actually a good, like, what is childhood like in Australia? I've never been. I have friends that are artists that have toured there. They love it. They all have like great things to say, but even that experience is not to the extent of growing up there.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was a bit interesting for me because my dad's American and my mom's Australian. So growing up in Australia, we're like outside all the time, just playing. Yeah. It's safer there, I would say. But when I was, I would have been like 4 years old, we moved to America actually in the late 90s, right before 9/11 happened.
Great timing.
I know, great timing.
Caught the fireworks.
So yeah, we moved there. I was in America for like 2 or 3 years.
Whereabouts?
And we were in Fairfax, Virginia. Pretty close.
Damn.
Yeah, people were getting like pulled out of deported, class. And I was like, wait, what is happening? Do you say I'm about to get deported?
Come here. Luckily, for you, like hanging out at Langley. You're like seeing all the action going on.
Crazy. I mean, at the time, I didn't really understand what was going on. Now I understand what was going on. And I was like, oh, shit, that actually happened.
Is your dad from Virginia?
My dad is actually from Mobile, Alabama.
Oh, shit. How did they meet?
By way of the West Indies. My dad was in the Air Force. And then he went to Australia, I guess, and they met. And then my mom already had a kid. And then my dad, like, became that kid's father. Wow. And then they got married and had me and my sister and my little brother as well. But yeah, so 9/11 happens, and then my mom, back to what I was, my point, my mom was just so scared because that stuff, I mean, I feel like it hadn't really happened in America before in recent history.
Attempts on the World Trade prior to that, but yeah, I mean, like, that was obviously the biggest.
Yeah, she was supposed to catch a flight that day, so she was like at the airport when it happened, and then obviously her flight got canceled, but she was just so scared, so she was like, we're going back to Australia. So the year after 9/11, which 2021, so long, did I say 2021? No, 2001. It's recent. We went back to Australia, and I think that's where it kind of became a bit different growing up in Australia, because I actually didn't realize that I was a person of color before I moved back to Australia, because I didn't even like, I wasn't aware that like people were different colors or different ethnicities. I never really thought about it at all.
Yeah, kind of hits you in the face there when there's nobody else that's...
Well, you went from Australia where it's a bunch of like white kids, and then you go to America where it was just so mixed and so diverse, and then going back to Australia, all of a sudden you're in the fourth grade getting called the N-word and kids are making monkey noises at you and stuff. And I was like, wait, what is this? Because I've never heard those words before. Yeah. And like, my dad's black, he doesn't even say those words. So yeah, going home and just like, mom, what does this mean? And she had to like explain it to us that we were people of color. So that was a interesting dynamic to grow up with. I feel like I would have had a lot better time in Australia if I was white.
I mean, isn't that just like a universal across the...
I think so.
Is there a limit on as to where that would be the case?
Yeah. I don't know. I think maybe South Africa.
It's pretty fucking white in South Africa.
I mean, it slowly changed.
Yeah. So what's it... Because I'm Lebanese and black, so like I always have this thing, like when I was younger, my mom was always like, you know, celebrate your Lebanese culture as much as well as your black side, even though it's not as physical, like you can't see it as much, maybe in like your hair or whatever, but people would have to ask questions to learn that about you. Celebrate that outwardly, be proud that you're Middle Eastern and all that shit. 9/11 happens. My mom's like, maybe we should dial it back a bit, like go back to being black. So like, we can figure, now you can just figure it out. So I've always had to like oscillate between, like, it just, it's
like code switching.
Yeah. Oh, for all the time. Yeah. But for you, like, how does the racism manifest in Australia? Is it similar to here? Or?
It's super like casual. Like someone will just, I mean, getting followed around stores, like people don't let you in certain places and they act like you smell. Just like the comments that a lot of people would make, like girls in high school would go and get fake tans and then come to school calling themselves like the N-word and saying like, now I'm more N-word than you are. So it's just like crazy that they even think that that's okay to say. But I'm also just
the island of bad babies walking around.
Bad babies. Catch me outside. How about that?
Yeah.
But it was interesting because I didn't really tolerate a lot of that stuff. So I was having a lot of issues with... just, it was mainly actually boys, and I was just fighting boys for calling me that N-word. But I feel like when YouTube started like coming in more, because I grew up in a very white city called Adelaide, and everyone I went to school with at the start especially was white. I think we were like some of the first black kids in our school. And so, I wasn't really tolerating a lot of stuff, so it was a lot of confrontations all of the time. But yeah, when YouTube started coming in and I started seeing people of color who were usually Americans on YouTube, like Andrea's Choice, Kasim G, like Niga Higa, I kind of just realized that there was so many other people out there, and I started learning more about like black women. Like obviously, like I am a black woman, but to actually be able to hear from black women about their perspectives and stuff, it kind of justified how I felt being myself, and like I wasn't the wrong one in the situation.
Did you yearn obviously you were in America for like such an infant part of your life, but when YouTube comes out and you're in Australia and you're like, did you yearn to be like, damn, I used to live in America where this was a thing, I want to go back.
I begged my parents to let me go to high school over there. They obviously said no, which is completely fair. I already wasn't doing well in Australian high school, so
like, you're not gonna send you 3,000 miles away.
I grew up on like the Disney Channel and stuff as well, so you had like Victorious where they're all in like a performing arts school. You had Hannah Montana where I don't know what school she was going to, but
it didn't matter.
So I really wanted to come back to America, and the goal was always to end up in Los Angeles, but I just didn't really know how I was gonna do that, because I knew I always wanted to do music. I always just kind of felt it, but you always have people like, that's not realistic, you need to get a real job, you need to finish school and go to college. But I was like, but I know what I want to do already. And so I found in high school everything I was doing in like art class or even like PE and stuff all ended up revolving around music. Like I would be making CD covers, or I would be preparing like dances with other girls in PE because that's just what I wanted to do. And I would like force my school to let me sing the national anthem every time we had an assembly or a graduation. And hopefully no one has video of that.
What's the Australian national anthem?
I don't want to sing it right now, but it's like, Australians, all let us rejoice, for we are young and free. just like that.
Wow.
So it's kind of like the American one where none of it's true. no shade, but.
okay, so, all right, but I mean, I kind of wanted to, because you said the experience, like seeing the YouTube, and then you when you come here, which I want to get to what ultimately led you here, but I just want to skip ahead. So you're in the States, you're in LA, mm-hmm. or Chicago first, but then in LA. There's also the thing where it's like, okay, like you may be black to the people in Australia, but are you black to the people in America?
Well, the thing is so going from Australia, I took a flight from Australia to Qatar and everyone on the flight was white. And I always just felt like I was being watched, like I was the scary person on the plane. Like, what's she gonna do? And then from Qatar to Chicago, everybody was black. No one paid me any mind. I just felt like I blended in. I didn't feel like othered. So then getting to America, I just, it's such a melting pot, especially I was in Chicago, the first place I went, and it just didn't really come up like my color at all, where in Australia it was like pointed out to me all the time. But I just felt welcomed and I felt that I just fit in automatically. And even like the white people over here, like everyone has brown friends, maybe not everyone, but in Chicago, they had brown friends. So I just fit in. I didn't feel like I had to like prove that I belonged, if that made sense. I think the thing that I noticed here is because I do have such a different experience of being black, and the experience in Australia is different, like when you're black, and it's the same in like England and stuff. But now I try to explain the experience I had, and it's kind of, not dismissed, it's dismissed by certain people because it's like, oh, well, like you're light skin, like, and I totally understand that I benefit from white privilege because I am light skin. But in Australia, like, they don't care how light you are. There's definitely dark skin people that would have been treated way worse than I was. But in Australia, if you're not white, you're not right. So it's changing now. There's more people of color there now, especially in Melbourne and Sydney.
Yeah.
But yeah, over here, it's just, it's kind of like reverse, I guess, the way I feel, where over there, I felt like I didn't belong. And then over here, I just like, I want to show that I do belong, I guess.
How about the accent side of things? When coming here, has that played like to your advantage? Or this, like, where is it shocking when you talk? Or what's that kind of?
I think people don't expect me to be Australian. I've realized that a lot of people don't or haven't realized that there's people of color in Australia. So I always get South African. I'll get English. I'll get Irish a lot as well. Or some people think I'm from New York. When I say, like, I need some coffee, and they're like, oh, New York. And I'm like, no.
Not even close.
The streets of New York would eat me alive. I think people love an accent for sure, but I would love to not have to explain it every time. But I get it. I get it. I hear people from, like, the Midwest. And I'm like, where's your accent from? Chicago. But, yeah.
Yeah. Do you think you're going to lose your accent the more time you spend here?
I already feel like it's going. Really? I'll probably listen back to this and be like, oh, that's American. Like, that's American. But then, especially once I start drinking, it really comes out.
Really?
It's like, all over the place. That. It's giving Steve Irwin.
R.I.P. Covered like the heroes of Australia. How big, like how much of a rock star was? Did you ever get to meet him? Did you ever get to see him? No.
I used to watch him on TV all the time. Like, he was really like, around, I feel like, I think I was like 7 or 8 when he died.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I think that was right. It was pretty shocking because of the way that he died, and I was like, surely that's not real. Like, I didn't even know stingrays could do that, but it happened.
Yeah, that was awful.
I feel so bad for
just geographically. So I can better understand, and anyone like people listening as well. Like Adelaide in comparison to like Perth or Sydney. Or what's like the third? Brisbane? Like how far are these all in relation to each other?
Everything's around the outskirts, except for Alice Springs, which is in the middle. They're around the outskirts of Australia. So I'd say Perth is kind of like where Portland, Oregon is, or maybe even Seattle. And then Adelaide would be where like Austin, Texas is. Like it's down south, right in the middle of the country. Yeah. So like where Australia goes up at the bottom, I'm like on that part of Australia. Yeah.
And then Sydney. No, that was actually perfect.
And then once you go around the bottom, like the bottom east coast, then it goes Melbourne, and then it's Sydney, and then it's Surfers Paradise, and then Brisbane, which is Queensland, which is like, Surfers Paradise is like the Miami of Australia. You don't want to date there.
The Australian culture, Australians that I know in New York and certainly in LA, what is it with Australians and just like they all love, first of all, because there's like shit drugs in Australia.
Yeah.
I know
everything's
that.
Everything's illegal.
There's no guns, which is like, that's great.
I mean,
all that
I
shit.
Love that part.
That's pretty sick. Yeah. But it's just like trash drugs. I've never met a group of people that are so obsessed with drugs, but have no access to it.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when I was in my like early 20s, just going to like Stereosonic and all the music festivals we have over there. And I don't know how much I can say, but
you can say whatever you want.
Like ecstasy was really big. Yeah. I mean, we would call them pingers. So that's what everybody was taking. And then a bunch of festivals got canceled, actually, because people kept dying. But it was so hot in Australia. And they're having these festivals where there's no shade. People, you can't test your drugs because it's
heat
illegal.
Exhaustion
you get in
and
trouble.
Dehydration.
So eventually they brought in drug testing. I don't know if every festival does it, but they brought that in where like you could test your drugs and you wouldn't get in trouble, apparently. Which
Unless
I guess
black.
Made it a bit safer. Yeah, I mean,
white drugs over here, but
it's two different lines. Yeah.
Why is a holding cell the only two black people at the festival?
I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
What are the major festivals over there? I honestly I'm like very curious. I have so many friends that have spent time in Australia, artists and just like people that have traveled there, but I've never dug in and I really want to. I'm curious.
Now you put me on the spot. I haven't been back in like 5 years. There's one that goes over like New Year's. I always forget the name of it though. There used to be Stereosonic and I would work at that every year so that I could get free tickets to go, and then I just wouldn't show up for work. there's like a bunch of them. I can't remember the names off the top of my head. You put me on the spot.
No, it's fine.
But yeah, there's this one that goes over New Year's. It's like 4 days long and people just go out and camp. It's kind of like, I'd compare it to like Bonnaroo. But Australian, so not as good.
Yeah.
Not as big, I would say.
Yeah.
Worst drugs.
Worst drugs, not as good. Okay, so let's go back to the your transition out of Australia to the States. Do you want to recount?
Sure. So, I mean, I was, I went from high school. I tried to go to college, which didn't work out for me. And then I ended up just, like, working around Australia. I was a dancer, so I was doing that around Australia for like 6 years, and then I just got to the point, it was 2016, actually. Actually, there's a story I didn't tell you yesterday, which I was trying to think about the whole story last night, and in 2016, I actually had gone on a Tinder date with this German guy. I can't remember his name now, it's probably for the best. But at the time, I was really struggling with assimilation in Australia. Okay. And in Australia, everyone has blonde hair and blue eyes. Not everybody, but that's like the ideal standard of beauty over there.
Yeah.
So I was straightening my hair and I was wearing blue eye contacts. And those were like the photos that were on Tinder, obviously. And so I went on this date. The guy was kind of like a bit weird in general. So it was already bad vibes. But then afterwards, he sent me a screenshot of one of the photos on my Instagram where I was standing in front of like a super bright light. And he's like,
white here.
I looked white.
Yeah.
I don't know, like it's spicy white. But he was like, no offense, but have you ever thought about bleaching your skin? Because you could look like this all the time. And I was just like, what the fuck?
You look like Sammy Sosa.
Yeah. And I was in,
Jesus.
I was in this Facebook group at the time for like women of color. And I didn't. Because that's like the kind of racism you would get in Australia. And then you'd like question it and be like, wait, like, is this racist?
Yeah.
It is. Okay.
Yeah. Like, am I wrong for feeling
am
a way about
I
this?
Overreacting?
Yeah.
But so I posted in this group and everyone was just like, that's so racist. Like, and then this one girl was like, can I write about this for this blog that I have? And so she wrote about it. And then the New York Times wrote about it and Yahoo and MSNBC, all these places. So I got like,
wait, about that specific story?
Shit. And like Tinder responded and stuff. It's like, we don't condone this behavior. And I'm like, will you let him on the platform? I mean, they didn't know.
Yeah, it's part of the game. Like, they can't control.
Yeah, I mean, why? But so I kind of like had a little pop of like Instagram followers from that. And then after that happened, it was 2016 and Philando Castile and Maude Aubrey had died in America.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's when all across the world, for the first time that I had seen, a lot of people were like, wait, this is actually really fucked up. And so everyone was like marching in solidarity because Black Lives Matter. And so I started organizing Black Lives Matter protests in Australia, which was a complete accident. I didn't realize how big it was going to get. I thought it was just going to be like a small group.
You were just walking down the street and they were like, it's a black person walking.
That's her.
Yeah, that's
No, but there's a lot of actually African Americans in Melbourne, which is where I was at the time. So Yeah, I thought it was just going to be a small group of like African Americans showing solidarity because I'm half African American. And then I kind of realized through that that the same thing was happening in Australia. But we have our own Indigenous population in Australia called the Aboriginals. And they're also like Black Australian as well, with a capital B, just so everyone knows. But they also got arrested and beaten and like killed by the police at like alarming rates compared to white people, considering they wiped most of the Indigenous people out. So the rates of people in jail were like so disproportionate.
Yeah.
So then we ended up like protesting for that as well. But through that, the Proud Boys found me, the Australian Proud Boys.
It's just such like a nasty knockoff of the American,
I know,
the Australian Proud. I also just wouldn't take them seriously.
They're so cringe. I'm like, you guys don't have anything better to do. Like,
you're also anti-Black in a country that legit has like 10 Black people.
Literally.
Like, just get over it. Just take a different street. Like, walk like, around.
We're not going to replace you.
Yeah, you got it, bro. The whole island is yours. Like, you're fucking fine, dude.
But yeah, so they started like posting my photos and stuff, and like posting my home address and stuff, and like my mom's home address.
I'll say they're doxed. My dad.
I got doxed by the Australian Proud Boys on this website called Chimp Mania that I showed you yesterday.
Wait, sorry, what was the name of the website?
Chimp Mania. Yeah.
Nice,
it's not up anymore. Direct. They posted like someone's child on there, and that woman was able to get the website taken down. But like my dad went to the FBI to try and get it taken down, and there's nothing they could do because it was Australian. Anyways, it was hectic, and I had gone out one night in Melbourne to this place called Revolver upstairs, which I'm sure all the Australians watching will know. It's a club, is all I'll say. But I'd gone home that night, and there was just a group of guys who, I mean, I think they were white. They were all wearing balaclavas, just standing outside my apartment building, and I was a little tipsy, so I was paranoid, and I went inside and called my mom. I was like, Mom, I'm scared. Like, there's these people outside. What do I do? And she was like, pack your stuff up. Just the essentials. We'll sort everything else out later. Just come home. So I lived 8 hours away from Melbourne. And I just drove straight home that same night. And I was on a flight to America the next week because I was so scared. I'd never been doxxed before. And the feeling of that is just like uncontrollable shaking and looking over my back. I actually thought I was going to get like murdered.
So, Jesus Christ. So you leave, you come here, but is it like, you said you always wanted to come to America, but I'm sure it wasn't like
under those circumstances.
So it's like, what the fuck? So now it's like my home isn't even really a home anymore because I kind of got pushed to a point of breaking point where I had to get the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
And you said you haven't been back since.
No, I wanted to go back in 2020 and then COVID happened and they weren't letting anyone back out, so I was like, I'm not going back there, I'll stay in America.
Did COVID hit Australia bad or no?
Yeah, it hit it. It wasn't as bad because they really like shut the country down,
and
people kind of just like respected each other and wore masks and isolated. And I mean, I think over here it was super like freedom and like you can't tell us what to do, and a bunch of people died. So I mean, and honestly,
not enough, to be honest.
Not the ones that should have. It's a couple of people.
I've said this. I went to Coney Island the summer or two after COVID when shit was open. I wasn't like breaking a rule. Beach was packed. It was just disgusting. I'd never been there. I took my bike out there with a friend of mine and we got there. As soon as I got off my bike, I was like COVID didn't do enough. This is awful. It was fucking awful. It sucked. We were there. It was like an hour ride to get out there around there. And then I was like, let's just go back.
Yeah.
We got an ice cream and fucking bike.
Was it just
full
of people?
It's just, it was terrible. It was like the shits. It was disgusting. It was like not fun.
Where's Coney Island? It's New York, right?
Yeah, it's in New York.
Is that near Long Island?
Yeah.
The one with the...
There's a Ferris wheel.
The former Statue of Liberty, is it?
There's no new one.
The French are taking it back, so.
Yeah, fucking right.
You guys did that to yourselves. You don't deserve it anymore.
Is that a real, I read that, or I saw that they were talking about, there's no way. They can't.
I don't know how they even got it here. I'm not going to.
Well, it was a gift.
Yeah, but it's so heavy, like. What was it, a crane?
Oh, you're saying how they physically got it here.
How did they physically get it? I'm sure it was built.
Slingshot. No, they, it was most likely, well, I'm trying to think. It was either made by someone French that was in the States or they took a boat at it.
Interesting.
Threw it on a cargo ship.
Yeah. I never thought about that before.
Now I'm interested. I mean,
I'm so intrigued.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, well, you stepped, so you've come here, but you've stepped into, like, I guess, the political activism in America now. So how's that? Is it better? Worse?
I mean, yeah, there's definitely more people out here that seem to have a good head on their shoulders. And I think in America, because you guys had the civil rights movement, you had Jim Crow and all of that, you had the Million Man March, you know, you have all these marches and stuff. I feel like, unfortunately, the way the government is right now, like, the crazies have taken over, like, what would you call them, white supremacists, they've all taken over. But especially when I moved here, I think it was Trump's first presidency, which I did not get to vote, unfortunately, because I would not have voted for him. But
dial it back. You've come here right when you first moved here, 9/11 happens.
Yeah.
Second time you moved here, Trump becomes the president. You got to go back to Australia.
I'm the bad luck.
You're the problem. Australia is the problem.
Fuck.
Wait, quick sidestep. It was broken down into 350 individual pieces, packed in 214 shipping crates, and the transatlantic boat ride on June 17th, 1885.
Wow.
And was brought to the island and built there. Yeah.
I still don't know where. So it's not Coney Island, is
no,
it?
No, okay. The Statue of Liberty is its own. It's on Ellis Island.
Gotcha.
Coney Island. Yeah, it's like off Brooklyn, in between.
She's
Brooklyn
island
and
girl.
Manhattan.
Okay.
She definitely is. Her arms got to be exhausted.
I mean.
Yeah. Okay, so stepping into the political sphere here, I know, you obviously, I saw your phone case when we met yesterday, which was, what was it?
Freedom for Palestine.
Freedom for Palestine. So, have you been vocal about?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'll admit I wasn't too familiar with the situation before. Like, I'd heard of Palestine, I'd heard of Israel, but I didn't really understand the context because it had never been taught to me before. Like, I didn't even know anything about Israel, to be honest. I thought it was always there. I don't know how much I could say here because it wasn't always that.
You could say literally anything you want. I'm a fucking Lebanese.
I mean,
it was like in college and like growing up in the States, it was just a matter of like, it's like, they're us, get over it kind of thing. And it wasn't like, it was just like, you know, the Holocaust happened. I feel like I learned more about the Holocaust than I did about slavery. But it was like, the Holocaust happened. This is awful. Here's all these shoes. So many people died. Yeah. Like, they're going to be good for life because of our relationship with them.
Yeah.
Which I was like, okay.
Even though they wouldn't take them in America, so they sent them to Palestine. But I feel like I obviously knew about the Holocaust and stuff, which was horrible. And you never want to see that happen again. And then once I realized what was happening, and then October 7th happened, and I was like, oh, this is like devastating. Obviously, like, all these people being kidnapped. And then I was like, well, why did this happen? And then I looked at the history. And I learned about the Nakba. I learned about, you know, the fact that America and England wouldn't take these Jewish people. So they basically stole Palestine and sent them to Palestine. And then all these people were displaced. They were killed. And for me, the only thing I had ever really learned after learning about the Holocaust was that it was just like empty land that was there. Like, I didn't really think too much of it because I don't know why. I just... No, when someone doesn't teach you something, you just don't know that that's a thing. So eventually, once I learned, I was like, this is exactly what happened to the Jewish people, though. So
it's the same how thing.
And I know it's obviously not all Jewish people that think this way. It's like,
of course,
Zionists,
yeah,
and it's
yeah.
the government that's in power right now. So I just like, I think, find it really disgusting that they're using Judaism to enact a second Holocaust on a different group of people, because... I thought never again meant never again to anybody.
It's interesting that TikTok mostly in particular, where like media and journalism was so controlled, and there's like five major news outlets will tell you what the fuck you need to hear and then go on about
Let's
your life.
Sensationalize it as well.
Yeah, that part too. So now obviously people are in Gaza and they're filming it, creating TikToks, becoming street journalists
Insane.
Overnight, like, or activists in their own right. Just people living there too. Yeah. People that don't want to like assume a role as like a face or a voice of a movement, but they're just like, yo, I live here. This is what's happening.
Literally.
And I forget where I was going with this, but I was going to say, like, you use TikTok like for basically to launch your whole.
Yeah. Like TikTok and Instagram. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was definitely getting
well.
Different information from TikTok that I was getting from Instagram until TikTok got taken away.
New TikTok.
And I was like, this is different. Somebody's cooked here.
Yeah.
I learned a lot from TikTok, actually, in that I think the thing that I've noticed is, like, people will receive information and then not do any research of their own on it. Yeah. So I would hear these people speak about, like, yeah, the Nakba, about, like, what happened when Jewish people were forced out of Germany after the Holocaust. And I would be like, oh, well, why didn't they come to America? Or why didn't they go to England? So I would do my own research as well. And I formed my own opinion, which I think a lot of people should do. But I know there's a lot of trauma wrapped up in the way that a lot of people think. And there's, I guess, like a journey of unbrainwashing that a lot of people need to go through.
Well, so that's what I want to kind of, I guess what I was kind of going through is, like, a lot of it is, I think it's the difficulty comes with realizing that what we were taught or what we were sold for so many years just wasn't in fact the truth of the matter. And I don't even want to keep it about this
topic. Yeah, move on eventually.
Also, like, currently, like, Speed's running around China and he's like, you know, Speed. And he's currently, like, unraveling and, like, untethering how the propaganda machine of how we've vilified and made them look like non-human and they're all robots.
And then I got on Red Note and I was like, they're just like us.
You're seeing him, like, high-fiving people, doing push-ups in the street, like, celebrating, dancing. This, like, Chinese dude's playing, like, the saxophone and Speed's, like, and he's, like, hanging. And China's, like, championing him. I was like, thank you for seeing us as fucking people.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that, but it's, like, people are like, look at Speed undoing all the propaganda we've been told for fucking ever.
I don't think it's propaganda. I really thought America had, like, the best intentions of, like, freedom or whatever. I mean, I was wrong. But I'll say this and then we can move on to the next subject. Is I grew up with a lot of Jewish people and I really, really wanted to be Jewish because I saw that community. That's the only kind of community that I had besides, like, Mormons, but that's another story.
Wait, in Australia?
In Australia.
There's a lot of Mormons and Jewish people?
Yeah, there's a lot. It's actually a lot of the Mormons are like Islander, like Samoan or from New Zealand, which is interesting, but, you know, there's missionaries. It's a whole other story. But I really wanted to be Jewish because I heard about Birthright, where they send you back to Israel and all this stuff. And I was like, oh my God, that's so nice.
That I want a free vacation, to be honest.
Yeah, literally. And I was like, Israel looks beautiful. But then I realized what Birthright actually was. And it was, they were having people settle there and steal people's houses and stuff. And I was just like, wow, I was brainwashed. As I really wanted to be a part of that community. I thought that that was, like, incredible that these people had been through so much and now they're, like, letting you go back home for free to, like, belong. And then I realized that that actually belongs to the Palestinians.
Well, I know there's, like, many hopes of what Birthright comes with it, but I know, like, some of my friends have done it. It's, like, I guess they say, like, you know, the hope is, at least from their parents, was, like, that they go there, meet a girl, fall in love, and then, like, continue. Because the whole thing is about continuing the bloodline through the matriarchy.
Interesting. Yeah. I just realizing what it actually was. I was just like, damn, they got me. The Facebook ads got me. Because I was seeing the ads on Facebook. So I'm just like,
ads for Birthright on
Facebook? Birthright, yeah. It was like, have a free trip back home. And I'm like, should I convert? I
think someone just like ate shit.
I know. That's what that sounds like.
God damn.
But yeah.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, let's get into your content creation and music career.
Yeah.
How is it, like, you have this whole coffee thing that's like obviously working extremely well, and then you have people that have, you know, hijacked it. White guys.
Many people. White. White guy's the worst one because he's like just so annoying. Hate his face. But no. I was making music, like, for ages before that. I started making music probably in Chicago. And then when I was working in Chicago, I was bartending, and then COVID happened, so I became unemployed. And I was getting free government money, which isn't free. We pay taxes for that, I'm pretty sure. I don't know how it all works now. Trump's very confusing with the stuff he does. But so I moved to Los Angeles through COVID because my sister was here. And then after 14 months being unemployed, the first job that would take me was a cafe. Mm. So I learned how to make coffee. And I was dating this guy at the time. And I had made one of the coffee reels to send to him, just a little flirty. And
what was that first message?
It was, you have a fat ass. I'm pretty sure. Fat PH, though. And then he was like, you should post this on Instagram. So I did. And then we kind of just watched. Like, I was at work the whole day. And we watched the numbers go up and up. I think it's at like 27 million right now.
Oh, shit. The first one was like the one.
It's probably higher now, but I can't scroll all the way back when my app crashes.
Damn.
There's so many. I've been doing it for like 3 years now. But yeah, so I started doing that, and then after it obviously took off as a bit of a trend, and then everyone started doing it. I think Instagram actually stopped paying people like in the creator program because it became like such a thing that it was like considered a static message, so they stopped paying people for it. So I was like, all right, everyone's doing it now. How can I capitalize? Because I obviously can't make money from this really. Now everyone's doing it. So that's when I made my song Coffee to put behind it. And I was like, oh, I'm going to like make this song trend using these because so many people send them to other people.
Yeah.
So I switch it up now. It's just all my music. But I'm sure I could get a lot more views if I used actual trending sounds. But, you know,
you got to promote yourself.
Yeah. I also like, when am I going to make coffee forever? No. Maybe that white guy will because he doesn't have a personality. But... He's got my personality, actually.
If you're messaging that you write on them, like, is it all you off the top? Like, is it you wake up in the morning and you're like, this is what I'm saying? Or what's
it's usually, I have a notes app in my phone and it'll be like one of my friends will say something or I'll say something. Sometimes I'll see like a meme or something and I'm like, oh, this is like really funny. Or sometimes it's, you know, I'm sending subliminal messages to like whoever I'm dating at the time. Like,
you have to be subbing people all the time on that.
Oh, it's annoying now though, because when I do try and date, like, they actually think it's about them and they like get super sensitive and
like, no bitch,
it's not about you, it's about my career. But yeah, it's definitely interesting the way that took off, and I'm not used to getting, well, I wasn't used to getting like recognized on the street, and now everyone comes up like, are you this girl? And it's like, they, that's me, this turning the coffee. It's like, yeah, that thing. Or like, especially at South by Southwest, I'm like, I'm there for music, obviously, but yeah, people know me from coffee. So it's been interesting because I started making music first to like switch over from the coffee to the music. And
yeah,
it's, I can see like the switch happening. I also kind of separated the coffee onto a separate page a little
very
bit.
Very smart, by the way.
Thank you. My friend told me to do it. My friend Kellen told me to do it. Shout out Kellen.
Also just like, better opportunities for branding, like, it just makes so much more sense. You basically, it's like two separate businesses.
I also just know like a lot of people followed me just for the coffee, and like now I'm posting more music content, which might not be what everyone's into, so I give people some options. Really, I also thought I was about to lose my main account because I was posting so much about Free Palestine that I thought they were gonna take my account.
Did you get a check or like a shadow ban or anything?
I got suspended for like 8 months, like when it first started, because I was just posting so much and they were like shutting down accounts. But yeah, I had to dial it back a bit. After 8 months, they let me start like posting again. So yeah, I could still post reels. I couldn't go live. I couldn't like tag people. I couldn't be found. So yeah, shadow ban.
Wow.
I guess,
and then when they came back, they said your first coffee has to be thank you, Mark Zuck. It says thank you when you turn it, and it says Zuck on the back. Yeah, thanks, Dad.
Nah, I've done a few about those guys. Though, about like, I think I posted one the other day that was like, get off the couch, you're not JD Vance or something. It's very divisive. You usually find just like all these MAGA people in the comments, and I'm just like, guys, it's just a joke.
Is there an opportunity to have like a cameo presence of that, like you sending, like people say, hey, like, it's my friend's, you know, birthday or whatever, like, is that a thing?
I used to be on Cameo actually, but it just, there was so many people trying to get them, and I make them when I have a coffee in the morning, so I would have been standing there like
just cranking all day.
What a waste of coffee. But sometimes people will message me in my DMs and be like, oh, can you do this, and I'll just do it. And like, that's, they don't have to pay me, but they should. So.
But if you can, subscribe to my OnlyFans.
Literally. Speaking of.
Tell about, So,
nice little segue.
Talking about links and bios. You have an OnlyFans account, but I think the way you're using it is very smart. And you're using the
way it was intended.
But you're using the stigma of OnlyFans to get people in the door just to then support your music career, which is fucking awesome.
I mean, I tried to get on Patreon. Well, I did get on Patreon and no one would subscribe because I also didn't really understand that platform. And it was another thing that people had to subscribe to at that time. So I had a friend at the time that was like, oh, you should like try OnlyFans. And I also like thought of it a certain way. I'm like, oh, everyone's just like doing porn on there, which they're not. There's actually like, there's ceramicists on there, there's chefs on there. So I got on OnlyFans, and as soon as I got on, like immediately people started subscribing, but I had nothing on there to like show. So I yeah, I have this series called Takara TV, just like a little docu-series that I do because I'm a narcissist. But I like, I'll post episodes there like months early, like in real time. I'm posting like a video about what I'm doing today. Like I posted one this morning, like I'm going to do a podcast today. He's going to be on my OnlyFans now. get that BG content. What do they say? It's they say, boy, girl content. Or something.
Is that what, I don't know any OnlyFans terms or short. I don't know.
I just know that one, really.
So I just pictured you in OnlyFans just turning the coffee with your feet.
Turning. People have actually asked me to like do the coffee things on there, like wearing lingerie. But I just feel like that'll get posted all over the internet. And I'm not trying to be on the internet like that. Yeah. I think the funny thing is that.
But think about how many subscribers you'd get.
True. I mean, I see some of these girls making millions of dollars, and I'm like, damn.
But aren't you in, like, the top 1% like, or something like that?
I think today it was, like, 1.5. I haven't been on in, like, a few days now because I've been out and about in L.A. But, yeah, no, I really am glad that I found that, honestly, and that I didn't let the stigma of it kind of stop me from being on it, because you can really use it however you want. And I have so much respect for the girls that do use it for porn, because why not? I think people get really upset when they take the power into their own hands and put that shit behind a paywall. But I'm just like, that's honestly the smartest thing you can do.
I completely support anybody.
Otherwise, you have to go get a pimp or something. And I'm like, that's dangerous, girls. Don't get a pimp.
How much of the actual people that are subscribed, how much of like you, because you're the one responding and, and feel like you don't have somebody doing it for you. How much of it's like hacking through the weeds of like, show me, you know, this, show some ass or like whatever, I mean, versus people that are like, I genuinely here to support your music career.
I mean, there's definitely a lot of people that will just subscribe and be like, send nudes. And then I get it.
It's like 12 on a Tuesday.
Literally.
Dude, you're with your family.
Different times. Yeah. Right now. Just dropped his kids off. But yeah, I feel like a lot of people will ask that kind of stuff. And I'm just, I reply to everybody myself, and I'm just super transparent. And I'm like, hey, like, I actually don't use this for that.
Yeah.
I like to get to know people and open up. Like, I mean, it's not like I'm not posting, like, if I go to the beach, like, I'm going to post a bikini pic on there and stuff. But it's nothing that I wouldn't post on Instagram. But my dad does not want me showing any skin on Instagram. I get it. He's a little more conservative. We have family watching. So I've always...
But he's okay with that living on...
Like, I mean, he doesn't really have a choice, you know?
All right.
I've always been a bit of a black sheep. Like, my family knows what I'm like. Like, I used to be a stripper for, like, 6 years. And it was, like, more burlesque and stuff. But it was, like, you don't know that when you're not the one doing it. Like, I also had my own ideas of what it was before I started doing it. And it was just a good time.
You never thought of, because, again, like, the art, burlesque is an art. You never thought of, like, doing that and then throwing that behind?
I mean, honestly, I just feel like that's so much effort.
It's a lot, yeah. It's like, not
true. You have to, like, make the content. And then I'm already making so much content for music that, I mean, it might be an idea for, like, a music video.
Yeah, but if that's not where your focus is, like,
that. Yeah.
Is getting on a pole, like, riding a bike? Like, if you just, like, get back up there, you're going to...
I think I'll pick it back up again. I don't know if I have the upper body strength anymore. Yeah. It's been a minute. But I used to love, like, pole dancing and stuff. I just... There was this girl. Oh, I can't remember her name now. We're friends, so I should. But Sapphire. She was so flexible. It was honestly something similar to that. She was so flexible, though, and I would just, like, Zinc. Sit I'm in awe. It's going to annoy me because I'm just not going to remember, and then she's going to be like, he asked you three times.
What's the, like, what's, what was your, like everyone knows, like, MJ's fadeaway, the Allen Iverson crossover.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
What was your, I'm saying in basketball terms, like, what was your move? Like, what was, like, the move? Like, you're, like, I'm in my bag. This is, like, watch my fucking foot hit the ceiling.
Oh, I would, so you climb up the pole. You, like, go upside down. I don't even know how to explain this. You, like, put one leg around and then the other leg. It's kind of like a spread eagle, I guess. And you just, like, let go with your hands. So it's just
your legs
leg,
on
just
the pole.
One leg holding on. Yeah, and luckily I worked, the first club I worked in, the pole would actually spin, but there's other clubs where the pole did not spin. Like, I don't know if you've been to Jumbo's here, that pole does not spin. Those girls are making themselves spin, and it's so painful.
How
it
do you,
burns.
Do they, like, is there, like, a lotion or an oil?
Yeah, you can get this stuff that you spray on, and it makes you, like, stickier, but sometimes that also just makes it hurt.
It's like
more.
Cheating in baseball. It's like, that's like pine tar.
Stripping baseball.
Not like, why is your sink your sink so far? It's literally. Like, well, I got fucking pine tar on
really
my inner thigh.
Because you're also wearing fake tan and you're covered in glitter. and you probably have like perfume or like lotion on or something, and you're not going to stay on the pole if you're covered in moisturizer.
That's what I would imagine, like the oils and moisturizer, glitter and shit, that would slip. So I would picture you go up there. Like, did you ever have like an injury? Do you know any girls that had like a serious, like, you know, fall from the top?
I've seen, not from a pole, from, but the there was rope. This girl called Pixie that worked there, and she, like the aerial hoop. And I've seen that.
Oh, that thing that like straps fell out to the ceiling.
Yeah, and she went down. Oof. But she was fine. She crushed it. She
remember
it
on
off,
Broadway, this Spider-Man production when the spider, like they were doing the
I
stunt.
Heard about that.
So that's what I'm picturing.
Is there a video of that?
There, I think so. I think I got kind of banged up. I hope that they paid him out.
Did you ever see in WWE? I watched this documentary. I don't actually watch that. And the guy fell from the roof and he like died.
Oh yeah, you're talking about what was that guy's name? Do you know Reggie?
And then they just kept the show
going. Watched are you referring to the Vince McMahon doc? Did you watch that?
That's what I watched.
Yeah, so wrestler,
crazy that his like wife or whatever is like the head of the Department of Education now.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. Like, seems to Owen it was Owen Hart. He fell 78 feet from the rafters.
You can't survive
that. And he died on national television,
and then they kept the show going.
And then they I mean,
so fucked capitalism.
Oh yeah, okay. He's from Kansas City. Died at 34. He's from he's Canadian. He died in Kansas. That's a shitty place to die. Sorry.
Yeah, I die in New York or LA or something.
Yeah, I mean, hit a coast. I don't know, not the floor. So that Liam kid, that was Spain. That's kind of cool.
What's that?
The One Direction guy.
Oh, R.I.P.
Is that in Spain?
Was it in Spain? I think it was in a hotel.
Argentina.
That was also sad.
What did you like when you were younger? Did you have like the boy band fangirl phase? Bieber? Like, what was your, you know?
I was on K-pop before K-pop was what it is now, and I used to get bullied so hard for that. There was a band called Dongbang Shingi, which was TVXQ, which was another name for them, or like One Time, which was like the OG like K-pop boy band back in the day, and I was like on that so hard. I think I was like 10 years old, I would have their posters on my wall, and everyone's like, Takara loves Asians, and I'm like, okay, first of all, what's wrong with that? But they would bully me so hard for it, and then I started seeing like the switchover when it was like Girls' Generation, like Shiny, all these people, and now we obviously have like Big Bang, we have I'm gonna get butchered for not remembering their name. What's that one boy band?
BTS.
Like, BTS, yeah.
And Blackpink. Love are you watching White Lotus
with Jenny? Yes, I love Lisa.
Is so good. She's also she's stunning, but she plays like such a cute girl, because I've seen her like on Instagram, like, I know this girl's huge. She's fucking gorgeous and like sexy and fierce on like the Louis Vuitton campaigns, but on the show she's like this like cute little innocent.
Yeah, it's a duality.
Like, yeah, she's like has that range. Is so cool. She's fucking awesome.
I love all of them. I'm so happy for all of them.
Who do you think's gonna be the killer? Back to White Lotus.
Ooh, I think a monkey's gonna get the gun, and then they're all gonna try and stop the monkey from killing someone, because I can't imagine that. I just feel like
a literal monkey, or are you saying this like in an Australian way where they're just like a black person to get the gun?
Oh, wow.
I don't know.
Damn, I'm triggered. Rebecca, is that you? I think it's going to be a monkey, because I feel like in this show, like the white people always come out on top, and it's like whoever works at the resort or like the people of
color. Do they come out on top? Literally a boat full of white people died in the last season.
Yeah, but... Wait, who died in the first season? I can't remember anymore.
Whose body was that? That walked. The guy that worked at the hotel. Oh yes, the manager of the hotel. The guy that crashed out. He started taking all the pills.
Like the family.
Sydney Sweeney's
and
pills.
Stuff.
He was stealing all her friends' shit.
Like Sydney Sweeney's family and stuff. Like came out kind of on top, and then
the son was the best story from that first season. Yeah, he's like, I'm staying here.
The sons in this season though, I'm like, this is hard to watch. Like. The brothers.
Yeah, they just fucked each other. Like, that was, that's not easy watch.
I mean, it depends on what you're into.
Also, I saw, it's not even like a spoil. I mean, there was a scene that next morning, they were in each other's swim trunks. So when they got dressed, they were in each other's.
That's rough.
Yeah, because there's a scene of like Saxon, Arnold Schwarzenegger's character, putting on his swim trunks, and he's like tugging them like tight.
Then
and it's
I
like,
have to
I was like, why do they focus so much on that?
Why
but then if you look at it.
When that happened.
Yeah, if you look at it, they were. In each other's, I'm looking at this TVXQ guys. You can't see, but they look like Men in Black. It's just like two guys in suits. Well,
that might be. So the band actually separated. Those are two of the members. There was four of them.
Oh, there were four of them.
I think two of them aren't in the band. So Sorry, just burped. It was my coffee.
Swag.
Two of them aren't in the band anymore. I'm not sure what happened, but there's some drama.
They might have to, I mean, don't K-pop. They all have to like enlist in
but
the war
I would
too?
Just like to put on the record that I was on the K-pop train before everybody else was when I was, not everybody else, obviously the Koreans knew about it way before I did.
It's literally but, their whole thing.
It's their whole thing.
Yeah.
So I actually invented K-pop. No. But yeah, they bullied me for that real hard. And now... Damn. Look who's laughing now.
It's that time of the episode. It's time for voicemails. Once again, call me at 877-557-SWWP to get in contact with me, your intrusive thought therapist. Takara, you ready? Let's just rip through a voicemail.
Okay. All right. I'll see what happens.
I have my little intro song too. Enjoy this. It's cute. These producers made this for me.
Wait, who's producers?
Like, they're from, where are they from? Copenhagen.
Oh, shit.
DM me. Made a song. It's great. Anyway.
Hey, what's good, Julian? Look, this your boy, Too Risky, representing the Dirty South, Louisiana. Look, I've been watching the content you've been putting out over the years. You know, great content. I support the new journey, new show and whatnot, new pod. So now that's out the way. Pretty much, I've been meaning to do this since like episode one, but here I am. What I need, my advice is, I kind of want to start this over now, but screw it. I'm going to try to do this in one take. All right, so pretty much, you know, my girl recently like, you know, separated from me, you know, and it kind of sucked. And she actually, you know, gave me some insight of what the issue was.
That's good.
And pretty much, and it's actually been a recurring issue I've had from other relationships as well. Like, in hindsight, like, I'm in my late 20s, and it made me do some self-reflecting to my early 20s, like, women I was involved with. And basically, you know, the recent girl, she pretty much said, like, long story short, she basically was saying I couldn't control my sexual urges. And by that, she was saying, that's what I'm calling it, but she basically was saying, like, I was, like, overly sexual. And I guess I made her feel like all I wanted was sex, I guess. And which isn't the case. Like, you know, when I'm with a girl, like, I like to be intimate with them. And unfortunately, what I had to learn, she gave me, like, one of those pity phone calls, like, that Drake Take Care. I hit her one of those phone calls. Where, you know, I was just trying to, you know, like, look, I just need you to talk to me. I just need to hear you. And she gave me a phone call
right
like,
now?
A couple weeks back. And I told her, like, I learned from all of that, you know, intimacy isn't. Because I was taught from when I was younger from women that, you know, sex equals intimacy. And I know now as a, you know, full man that now I know that's not the case. And I hate that those first few partners I had, that's kind of what I learned from them. Cause they were more experienced than me. And yeah, like I've been sending her paragraphs. I know. Sending her paragraphs, calling the phone. She just really don't want too much to do with me at this point. And I guess I just need some advice.
Wow. I'm glad we played this one.
I know.
I think every person, especially with a relationship, comes into your life and at a certain time, and you're supposed to take and learn what you can, whether or not that works out or not.
Yeah.
Most cases, it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
So it sounds like in this, for him, he learned that, like you said, intimacy isn't just sex. There's far more to loving someone than just fucking them.
Yeah.
Which I think every kid thinks, like, you learn that at some point.
Mm.
And then there's, like, a whole other swing to it that I could get into. But I think that's what you learn from this one. I don't think she's the person. I think you take these tools and take that on to the next person.
Yeah.
I also don't think you just learn it by way of doing it. I think if this is something that you want to take seriously, maybe talk to somebody about it. Seek out some form of therapy to just, like, really, because, again, we were talking about, like, rewiring our brains earlier. Like, you have to unlearn bad habits and untrain yourself that's, like, I'm attracted to her. My only way of displaying that is by fucking her and like plowing her. It's like, well, that's not how it has to be.
Yeah. I think also just from a woman's perspective, what he was saying of like intimacy doesn't always mean sex. I think especially from a woman's perspective, if I feel like someone is just wanting to have sex with me, it makes me feel like a bit of an object. And I'm not saying that he was treating her like an object or anything. But yeah, from a woman's perspective, there's so much more that goes into being intimate, whether that is like, you know, different love languages, whether that's words of affirmation, whether that's just quality time spent. Like, I don't think you have to have sex to be intimate. It's definitely a part of it if two people really love each other, like the birds and the bees. But yeah, learning, I feel like it's nice that she explained that to him. And so I think all you can really do is, like, he's obviously a bit upset if he's sending paragraphs, which I learned my lesson. Do not send paragraphs. You don't need to explain yourself too much, but definitely listen to what the other person is saying. Just take what you've learned from this person and try to adapt next time and just do better next time. And it's definitely a learning experience. I feel like I've been in situations over and over again where I'm like, oh, this thing's happening again. So then you have to kind of work out whether it's something that needs to be changed or whether that's just how you are and you need to find the right fit. Because there's definitely a lot of women that do love sex. But yeah, there's so much more that comes with being intimate than just sex. Women don't really want to feel like that's what they're being used for. So you at least pretend that that's not what you're using them for. You know what I mean?
What's your, if you lie to me. What's your love language?
I think words of affirmation. I always want the other person to feel like they're cared about, they're being thought about. Not so much where I'm like sending them messages every 10 minutes, like, what are you doing? I'm doing this right now. But like, just like, hey, I'm thinking about you. And then I go on with my day because I'm a busy girl and I would hope that they're busy as well.
I've never been the all day texter because it kind of ruins if you come home, say, even if you don't live together, but if you're spending the night together, you have a date or whatever, it's like, what the fuck are we going to talk about if I've been talking to you all day?
I also like to get to know, I think in this age of social media and dating apps, we're all like asking 20 questions before we've even like actually spoken to the person and like face to face. So I prefer to not really text too much about what's going on, like even asking about their family and stuff. Like, I want to do that face to face, which means I want to spend quality time with you. But yeah, if we're just having sex, I'm not really going to be able to ask those questions. So. I mean, I don't know if I'd want to ask about your family while you're inside of me. But I don't know. Whatever.
What's your relationship with your mother? Oh, God.
She's a lovely woman.
Right there.
God. It's like those brothers from White Lotus again.
Yeah. Damn. I feel homey, though. But, like, I think this is what maturing is. Like, I've gone through this phase. And I'm in, like, I've gone through a phase, too, of, like, I've been so desensitized to sex where sex has gotten to a point where it means, like, it's beneath intimacy. It means nothing to me.
Yeah, that's how it's I feel.
The least sexual thing I can do with someone is probably fuck them. Whereas, like, if we're, you know, going to dinner, like, hanging out or, like, doing something meaningful, like, going to the museum with someone is more intimate for me than fucking them.
Yeah.
So I've gone this phase of like where if I've fallen for someone or care deeply about them, I actually don't want to have sex with them because I look at it as like I'm degrading you. Even if it's like, I'm not saying like sloppy, wild shit, but it's like even just by being physical in a sexual way with you makes me feel like I'm doing you dirty. It's like such a weird fucking flip.
I don't know if this really relates to him, but I actually try to put off having sex for as long as possible to see if they stay interested, because I feel like sometimes when you just give it to them, that's all they wanted. And then you realize that and you're like, fuck, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, just
so
the
now
allures,
I just wait to see if they keep trying to get to know me. And they usually don't. So, I haven't had sex in like a year now. And that's my choice. But that's why, you know, I feel like there's other ways to get to know someone and be intimate. And that is quality time and stuff like that. And just showing that you care. Like, I think people definitely have their own urges and stuff. But you need to be receptive to how the other person's feeling at the same time. So you live and you learn.
You live and you learn.
Take that experience into the next one. And I feel like it's so cheesy to say, like, time heals all wounds, but it definitely stops hurting eventually. And I feel like if you're sending paragraphs, you're hurting.
What do they say? They say per relationship, you get the allotted time is half the length of the relationship to get over that relationship. Yeah. I don't know if there's like any science to that, but I know that that's like the general saying. Yeah. It's if you're in like a 6 month thing, you get 3 months to get the fuck over it.
I was in an on and off situation for 2.5 years, so I don't know how that works.
Wow.
I feel like there's some gaps in there.
Yeah. I think you get double the time to get over it.
3 years. Maybe cobwebs forever. Yeah. I'm just kidding.
All right. Well, let's wrap because this was incredible. Thank you so much for doing this. This is the beauty of going to a music festival and meeting new friends. And now we're in LA. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. If you're listening to this, I am back in New York if my plane landed safely. If not, nice knowing you.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
Sit at the back of the plane. It's the safest part of the plane, everybody.
Yeah, for real. They say, like, yeah. Now, like, you know, obviously the luxury seats and all that shit's up front, but, like,
when
that's...
I walk past first class, now I'm like, you guys are idiots.
Yeah.
I'm going to survive,
if you're going,
statistically.
Yeah, if you're going down, that's nose first. There goes all your fucking Rolex. Can't save your life.
I put my nose up at them now. And I'm like, sucks to suck, you guys.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. I love you, appreciate you, and I'll talk to you next week. I will be in Dreamville next weekend, so I'm sure I'll have plenty to talk about that. So peace.
Something wrong with the pussy. Something wrong with the pussy. Something wrong with the pussy.